Welcome back to The Daily Poem, a podcast from Goldberry Studios. I'm Sean Johnson, and today is Monday, April 29th, 2024. Today's poem is by A.E. Stallings, and it's called Dead Language Lesson. I'll read it once, offer a few comments, and then read it one more time. Dead Language Lesson. They lift their half-closed eyes out of the grammar. What is the object of love? You, singular. The subject? I. Aeneas has nothing to say for himself. Even the boys confess that he didn't intend to come back. The girls already know the tale by heart. They wheedle me for tangents, for anything not in a book, even though it's all from books. The many wild Penelope, Orpheus struck dumb with hindsight. I confiscate a note in which the author writes, "Who do you love?" An agony past all correction. I think, as they wait for the bell, blessed are the young for whom all languages are dead. The girl who twines her golden hair like Circe, turning glib boys into swine. One of the great things about this poem is something that Stallings excels at generally, and that is weaving together characters and themes from classical literature, with contemporary concerns, or maybe even a better way to say it is, as the poem demonstrates, universal concerns. Taking these characters and figures that it's easy to dismiss as outdated or removed from our own experience, and highlight just how universal their experience is and therefore how much they have to offer us, which is a point that can be made about dead languages, I think is being made about dead languages here in the poem. For one thing, a dead language is often misunderstood. The term does not simply refer to a language that is boring or obsolete. It's a technical term for a language that has no native speakers, a language that isn't being taught to infants and toddlers as their first or primary language. But it doesn't mean a language that has fallen out of use. Latin, which is probably the language being studied by the students in this poem, is a dead language, but there is still a nation in this world where Latin is the primary official language. That's Vatican City, which maybe doesn't count, but maybe it does. What is great about a dead language, and really what the term designates, is that because it is not a native language being spoken casually, there's no organic development going on in the language anymore. It stays the same. It's frozen. It's like those mosquitoes in Amber from Jurassic Park. It's there, preserved in a final and concrete form, which makes it much easier to study, actually. There's less ambiguity and variation in grammar. Even the irregular vocabulary words are permanently irregular. Their forms and their meanings are no longer shifting, so they're easier to pin down and get a handle on, which sometimes makes them a decent universal language. Here, that is certainly the case. There are a number of universal languages being spoken. What is the object of love? You, singular. The subject? I. So quickly she lifts us from the study of grammar, where eyes have half closed in boredom or tedium, and the experience of Aeneas, the great Trojan hero and refugee who flees the fall of Troy to Italy, where his descendants will found Italy, or found the city of Rome, and along the way makes a pit stop in Carthage, where he engages the affections of Dido and then spurns and abandons her. This is a story that the boys and girls immediately understand, identify with from the inside out and know all too well. Then they wheedle the teacher for the tidbits, the things not in the book. But as the teacher points out, it's all from books. They just don't understand that yet. There's something about young people that is both insightful and obnoxious if you are their teacher, and that is that they always want to understand the world in light of themselves, which in its extreme form can be very selfish, but when moderated, really makes them, as I said, quite insightful. When you read something like the Aeneid, ancient Latin poem, the instinct of the young is immediately to connect it to themselves and sometimes get distracted by themselves. But they are much better at recognizing and reminding that these stories have something to say about ourselves. The older you get, the easier it is to read of Aeneas's travails and Dido's suffering at a far remove from yourself. There's no virtue to be excited in you, no vice to be exposed in you. These are other people's problems a long time ago, far, far away from you. The young, in immediately connecting themselves to the story, also open themselves up to be shaped and influenced and transformed by the story. And so this universal element comes forth, and the speaker here in Stallings' poem notes that, particularly about the universality of love and a kind of fleeting love, right? Boys and girls break each other's hearts in very much the same way that Aeneas and Dido experience. And it is in that way that for the young, all languages are dead. For the young, there is one kind of universal theme that they desire to express, no matter what language they use. And so in that way, all languages are fixed. All languages are the same, because the very young, the youthful, who are blessed here in this poem, they desire to make the same use of every language, any language, and they succeed in doing so. No language that the young put their hands or their minds upon has evolved past the point of saying this thing that all young people want to say, and all people who are no longer young can still remember maybe wanting to say. There's probably a fascinating implication for the writing of poetry here too, but I'll leave you to puzzle that out on your own. Here's Dead Language Lesson one more time. They lift their half-closed eyes out of the grammar. What is the object of love? You, singular. The subject, I. Aeneas has nothing to say for himself. Even the boys confess that he didn't intend to come back. The girls already know the tale by heart. They wheedle me for tangents, for anything not in a book, even though it's all from books. The many wild Penelope, Orpheus struck dumb with hindsight. I confiscate a note in which the author writes, "Who do you love?" An agony past all correction. I think as they wait for the bell, blessed are the young for whom all languages are dead. The girl who twines her golden hair like Circe, turning glib boys into swine. This has been the Daily Poem. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with another poem for you. To listen to past episodes, to support the show, or subscribe for regular poem delivery and updates, you can visit dailypoempod.substack.com. On behalf of our whole team at Goldberry Studios, I'm Sean Johnson. Until next time, happy reading.